Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to preach a message this morning. It's light. It's not deep. The last thing I desire to do this morning, the purpose is to not dive deep and stay long and come up dry. I'm going to preach on what is the doctrine of soteriology. It is salvation. But my idea this morning is to be just preach a basic message on practical truth. The message could be entitled, "What Happened the Day I Got Saved?" It's my story. But if you're born again, it is your story as well. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 15, and we'll just read by way of introduction, verse 7 and verse 10. And then we're going to hit the road right from there. We're going to get out as fast as we possibly can. Stand with me out of respect for God's Word. So it'll be a lot of testifying this morning, a lot of telling you what God did for me. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. That sometimes can get old, but I try not to do it too often. On the other hand, sometimes it's very refreshing. And the purpose of this message for the saint of God is to refresh your spirit. To be able to hear things that are being said and say, yeah, that's what happened to me. Yeah, that's what's going on in my life right now. Yeah, God is good to me as well. It says in Luke in chapter 15 and verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's how important salvation is, 99 to 1. He says there'll be over one sinner that comes to God, one sinner that comes to Christ, the angels are singing. Verse 10 says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over, there it is again, one sinner that repenteth. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word of God. I pray it be refreshing this morning. Revive our spirits. God, lift us into the heavenlies. We pray, Jesus, that great things would be done among the children of God, the saints of God, here this morning. And Lord, may it encourage us to do more. And God, if there's anyone here not born again, I pray, God, that it would encourage them to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When I got saved, the earth didn't stand still. As a matter of fact, heaven's flag should have been lowered to half mast, and whatever angel was going to be assigned to little Chip Rader, little Timmy Rader, as a guardian angel, he should have spent some time weeping. And maybe he did, knowing what was going to come. But the truth is, there was great rejoicing the day I got saved. And it didn't happen here on this earth. There weren't parades here on this earth. And people were saying, oh, man, you got saved. That isn't what happened. But in heaven, where it really counts, that is what happened. 1968. South End of Shunk Road, invited to Vacation Bible School at what used to be a red-hot gospel preaching church, old-time religion gospel preaching church. There's still some gospel there today, but it's far from red-hot. But they were then. They had a good pastor. Man, things were wall-to-wall with people, and things were bustling. And I got invited to Vacation Bible School, and I sat in a class of fifth and sixth grade boys taught by Margene Rowe. She was here last Sunday. I don't know if she's here this morning. And she taught on the armor of God. Man, I can give you details. I was hearing things I'd never heard before. She got to the end of the class and she said, all right, boys, bow your heads. And we bowed our heads. He said, Annie, I'm going to dismiss for cookies and Kool-Aid. That's why I went to VBS. I'll dismiss for cookies and Kool-Aid in just a moment. But before I do, if you're not sure you're going to heaven and you'd like to get saved and you'd like to know for sure you're on your way to heaven, just raise your hand right now. And my eyes were real tightly closed and I raised my hand. I was the only one. I didn't know it. I was the only one that raised my hand, probably because everybody else in the class was saved, but I wasn't born again. And I raised my hand and I put my hand back down and she said, listen, if you raise your hand, when I dismiss you in a moment for cookies and Kool-Aid, you stay behind. I'm going to tell you how you can go to heaven. Everybody got up and left. I was a little bit shocked because I was kind of a timid boy. But there I was with the teacher all by myself. And she told me about Jesus. And I prayed. I got on my knees. And I can take you to the place and show you the spot where I got on my knees and I prayed. And I asked Jesus Christ to be my forever Savior. I even remember what I prayed. That's amazing. I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I can remember what I prayed that day. I thank God, I thank Jesus for dying on the cross for me. She must have taught me well, Mrs. Martine Rowe. I thank God for dying for me and shedding his blood for me, and I ask him to forgive me of my sins and be my Savior. And that day, I got born into the family of God. And there was rejoicing in the presence of the holy angels of God. I had no idea. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about what God had planned for me in the future. Man, and I made all kinds of bad choices all along the way. But it was very obvious as I look back in my life, God's hand was there. That's the good God that we serve. And I want you to make no mistake about it. It's not because of me. God's good hand was on me, and it was in spite of me. I knew nothing. I disappointed him again and again, and I still do. And yet his hand of blessing is on me. And I stand before you this morning to testify that God is good. Amen. That happened in 1968, I did a little research. That was the year that Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee at the Lorraine Motel. That was also the year that Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. That was the year of the largest offensive in the Viet Cong War, Vietnamese War, where the North Vietnamese, the Tet Offensive, attacked an unprepared American army. That was the year of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. In that year, that was the year that Hot Wheel cars were invented. Amen, amen. I remember that as a little boy. Man, those things were great. I still play with them from time to time. In fact, a little open book, full confession, I played with my little green army men with my little grandson, Bo, just this last week, that snow day that we had. Hey, 1968, you could buy a Chevy Impala, brand spanking new, for $3,468. Oh. Now, this is going to really date you, and I'm going to get right to the Bible. That was the year the phrase, book 'em, Dano, was, if you know what I'm talking about, say amen. We got some old people here. That's good, all right? You younger people, you have no idea. That's one of the great mysteries of life. You'll just have to ask somebody about it later in. But every week, book them, Dano. Boy, that was the best part of the whole show. It really was. What happened the day I got saved? My story is your story. It might be that you got saved this year. It might be that you got saved 10 years ago. But there was a God-conscious moment where you meant business with God. And you said no to your sinful ways. You repented of your sin and you asked Jesus to be your eternal Savior. And what happened is you were born again that very moment. But God, the Holy Spirit came into your life, and he'll never lead you away from holiness. He came into your life and you were regenerated. You were redeemed. You were born into the family of God. What a wonderful day that was. And that day that you got saved, that day that I got saved, I was saved from the power of sin. I remember not long after that, it was a few years after that, I was in high school, late high school, and I announced to my two buddies, my peers, that I was surrendering to preach. I was going into the ministry because God had called me into the ministry. And we were all at work at that time. We all worked at the same place, and both of them laughed. One of them is in prison, and the other today is in a drunkard's grave. And I'm glad I didn't listen to them. Amen. Surrender to God. You'll never regret it. Get born into the family of God. You'll never regret it. The day I got saved, I was saved from the power of sin. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans and chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I'll not read everything I was going to read. Let's just read verse 14. To maybe verse 16 or verse 18. Verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, power over you, for ye are not under the law, glory to God, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?" Paul said in the strongest language he could use, "God forbid." None of us have a license to sin. You get born again and you choose the wrong path, you're asking God to whip on you, and he will, because he loves you. Hebrews in chapter 12. You're asking God to judge you, and he will, because he loves you. But listen, if you'll choose to do right, right, he will bless you. Paul said, should we sin more because we're saved by grace? God forbid. Be it far from us. God forbid. No way. No how. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death, and that's where sin leads, or of obedience unto righteousness. Two paths, you choose one. Here's a novel truth. This is Bible truth. This is Bible doctrine. Ground level. We sin after we're born again. We sin because we choose to. We sin because we want to. We sin because we have that old nature that says, I want to do it my way. And it's the devil's lie that tells you, I can do it just this once and it won't hurt. That's not how it works. People never fall into deep sin. It comes about by small incremental decisions away from God. And you get farther from God. And then that final leap, that's not as big a leap anymore. But the devil will always tell you, oh, you can do it one time. Nobody's going to know. You can do it twice and you can get away with it. And there's not going to be any consequences. Verse 17 says, but God be thanked that ye were, underline the word were, the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. I remember, and every once in a while I hear this periodically, in one form or another, oh, you, that religion stuff, that's just a crutch. You're a slave to religion. No, sir. No, sir. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. That's altogether different. You're a slave to sin. You're bound in the chains of sin, and you're blinded by sin, and you don't understand how good God really is. Being then made free from sin, verse 18, ye became the servants of righteousness. Put yourself in the position to overcome the flesh. Verse 20 says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. It goes on to the whole doctrine. I can't preach that whole passage, but understand when you get saved, you are saved from the power of sin. No sin can dominate you if you'll just come to Christ. If you'll just start choosing right. If you'll feed your spirit instead of your flesh, if you'll spend time in the Word of God so the Holy Spirit can fortify your soul instead of drinking at the sewer system of the world, and if you'll just allow God, the Holy Spirit, to lead you in your life, sin is everywhere. It's all over our culture and all around me and you and all inside us as well, because we still have that same old fallen nature. There are drunkards everywhere. They would sell their soul if they could just quit drinking. There are people all over this world that are smoked. They're smokers and do drugs and they're weak and they're defeated. There are immoral wretches everywhere that are disgusted with their sin. And after they commit their sin, they feel just miserable on the inside. They are conflicted. They're just, go to Romans in chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Just turn over a page here. Look what the Apostle Paul said. And don't think for a moment this world has the answers. And I know I've been harping on it a little bit, but it's in Rudyard, it's in Pickford, it's in Kinross. You see it everywhere. All of the perversion, all of the transgender world, and people that are in the process of changing their God-ordained sex. And maybe you don't know this, and not everybody does studies on these kinds of things, but of the trans people in America, 82% have considered suicide. That is an empty life. That is a perverted life that just drifts farther and farther from God. Immorality is a perverted life. It's not what God intends. God intends one man, one woman. God intends a husband and a wife to procreate and bring children into this world and nurture those children. And it's till death do us part. And just like Christ in the church, Jesus doesn't have another bride. We're it. He's faithful to us every step of the way. And even when the bride is unfaithful, that's us, we're still sinners, he still is faithful to us. Look at it says in Romans in chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Verse 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Paul says, dwelleth no good thing. There's no spark of divinity. Man, I have no righteousness in myself. For to will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good, I find it not. Man, he says, I struggle. somehow that's refreshing to me. Not refreshing, but somehow that helps my faith to understand that the greatest Christian that ever lived in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, couldn't let his guard down. He said, I struggle. I'm conflicted. That old nature that Apostle Paul had, he still had it. He said, that's why I've got to be careful what I look at and what I listen to and where I go and who I hang out with. It is a constant struggle. He goes on and refers to himself as a wretched man. Verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John 5, 4. Turn in your Bibles there. Forget about the monitor. I want those pages turning, all right? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. You got to get to know the book. Fourth verse says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're overcomers in Christ. Amen. We're winners in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God who is faithful will provide for you a way to escape with every temptation. God's the faithful one. All we have to do is look to him. You cannot shake your fist at God or hide in the dark corner somewhere and say, God, I couldn't do it. I gave in and it was, you know, I was just too much for me. And God says, oh, no. In every situation, I make a way for you to overcome that temptation because you have God, the Holy Spirit, living within you. It's like the story of, this is not politically correct, but I heard this a long time ago before political correctness was even a thing. The old Indian chief who was born again, got born again, was asked, you know, he said he had two dogs living within him, a white dog and a black dog. The white dog representing good and the black dog representing evil. And the missionary asked him, well, who wins that battle between the white dog and the black dog? And the old Indian chief said, whichever one I say sick him to. That's it. We sin because we want to. Sometimes we set ourselves up because we play footsie with the devil. You aren't going to win that fight. You play hide and seek with the world. You're not going to win that fight. The day I got saved in fifth grade, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt me. And I was given the power to overcome the power of sin. The day I got saved, something else happened. I was saved from the presence of sin. Go to Galatians 1:4. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. It's a verse maybe you have not really looked at before. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Saved from the presence of sin. We live in a wicked world. This would be interesting to some of you. I, with my own eyes, other people in this area as well, those of the, you know, people that are youpers, you live up here a while, I've seen several wolves. I saw some on the way out to camp. I saw one at the top of the hill over here. A couple years back, I saw a big wolf. Me and a bunch, about 10, 15 other cars over here right at the end of the airstrip. Three of the five nights, Monday through Friday, this last week, there's a wolf back here behind the mission building, behind my house, howling. Not a coyote with their little yelps, all right? As far as I'm concerned, coyotes are little rodents is all they are, you know? They sound like there's a lot of them. They sound yup, 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 and they're everywhere. But a wolf, I mean, it was the, ooh! I mean, and with no leaves on the trees and snow on the ground, sounds like he's right outside my door. He's right there. In fact, I open the door and I'm looking. I don't see him anywhere out there, but there are wolves in sheep's clothing. And they're on the hunt. And they're looking for the weak. And when they find them, they'll run them down in a pack. And they'll destroy them. The devil wants your kids. The devil wants you. He wants your wife. He wants your husband. And if you listen, you can hear him howling. And he'll do his best to destroy you. But we have been delivered. We have been given power over sin. We have been given power over the presence. I was saved from the very presence of sin. Now here's the caveat to that. It ain't going to happen until we get home. But it says here in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 1, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Ephesians 5:27 says that he hath, that he might present it, that's the church, to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Won't that be something when the church is glorious? Won't that be something when the church has no spot and no wrinkle and we stand before Jesus, our Savior? Won't the marriage supper of the Lamb really be something? And all the saints of God that are there, those that are even guests at the dinner, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's going to be a wonderful time. You'll wish you had done more for God. I promise you that. You'll wish that you hadn't turned to sin as often as you did. But that day is coming when sin will no more have dominion over us and will be delivered from the presence of that sin. That's called heaven. In the meantime, we're down here in this world, and we are in the presence of sin, and we carry it in our old nature. Can I revisit that first point again and repeat to you what we read of in the Song of Solomon in chapter 2 and verse 15? It is the little foxes that spoil the vine. You say, oh, that's a little sin. Can I tell you, there's no such thing as a little sin? I mean, a little sin, God the Father, no way. He's a holy God. And you put enough of those little sins together, and before long, you got some big sinning going on. Saved from the power of sin. Saved from the presence of sin. I'm not a perfect man. I'm glad nobody said amen right there. I'm not a perfect man, and I know that. But I have a perfect God and a perfect Savior. We get to be part of his work. I got a phone call yesterday. There's a pastor of a small church downstate that I have been mentoring. A lot of it is by distance, you know, over the phone and so forth. And he calls me weekly and he has questions and he has, you know, looking for answers. And I can give him a little bit of direction. And so I'm mentoring him. He was all excited. He got a phone call this week and met with a man that is... They don't have a pastor at the United Methodist Church in this little town that they live in, about 3-4 hours from here. And the guy that was picked to stand up and just kind of represent and lead in the worship services is a Baptist man that uses a King James Bible. But he doesn't, you know, that's his background. He just really isn't real strong in a lot of things. So he got a hold of this other preacher that I've been mentoring, and they're in the same little town. One's got a building and one rents a building, and both congregations are small. And man, they're all excited because they're on the same page. And he said, Pastor, would you help us? I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. So we might be mothering another church. That's a wonderful thing. You know, over the 43 years, we have either mothered, birthed, or rescued 5 churches in the Upper Peninsula, and they're all still going. Actually, there were 6 and one's gone, all right? But there are 5, they're all still going, and that all comes back to, that's laid at the feet of Fundamental Baptist Church, and maybe now another one knows. I'm all for that, man. We'll help them. We'll do whatever we can for them and try to lead them along the way. They're hungry and looking. We get to be involved in the work of God. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So I was saved from the power of sin back in 1968. I was saved from the presence of sin. That's yet future, but I was saved. And I'm saved from the penalty of sin as well. You've heard me say this before. I know 2 things. I know I deserve to go to hell. And I know I'm going to heaven. That's bottom line. I know that I know that I know. When this heart stops beating, I'm going to heaven. I'm trying to pass on my love for Christ. I'm trying to pass on what knowledge I have of Christ. I'm trying to pass on all the information I can. I'm trying to do my best to prepare the next generation. And I've been doing that directly with some guys and the generation after that. I had a blessing yesterday. I got to spend basically 3 hours in a car alone with my grandson Trigg and at a hotel that night. And 3 hours back, Trigg, where you at? We probably laughed more than anything else, didn't we? Man, you didn't know your grandpa was that silly, did you? Or you did, don't you? Man, we had a good time. We laughed. I found out that Trigg talks in his sleep and he snores a little bit. But other than that, he's a pretty sharp young man. And we laughed. The kind of laughter Christians are supposed to have. You know, where you're laughing so much you can't catch your breath. Where you're laughing and it feels like your eyes are going to bulge right out of your head. Have you laughed like that in a while? Man, you ought to as a child of God. Now, it's tough to do when you're driving. You know, but... But we had a one. And you know what I was doing? I was trying to pour my life into Trigg's life just a little bit. Man, that's what a privilege it is to be a part of the work of God. Man, it isn't about you and it isn't about me. I was saved from the power of sin. I'm saved from the presence of sin. And I was saved from the penalty of sin. Hey, I'm not going to hell. Glory to God. I deserve to, but I'm not going there. I'm not going to hell. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 17 and 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's another one. Psalm 86:13. For great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. That's what being born again is. Delivered from the penalty of sin. I am not going to die and go to hell. The wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die. Somebody has to go to hell. The choice is yours and the choice is mine. Somebody already did. His name is Jesus. And he paid the price for my sin. If I'll choose him, I'll repent of my sin. I'm born into the family of God. He went there. I don't have to. He conquered the grave. I don't have to. I get to go to heaven. If I refuse him and what he did at Calvary, then I pay for my sin. And you don't want to do that. Not as a child of God. Not as someone that has the opportunity to be a child of God. You don't want to go to hell after hearing the gospel because your hell will be that much hotter. And you don't want to turn your back on God this morning and go to the devil's hell. This might be your last morning on earth. This could be your last few moments on earth. You don't know when your heart is going to stop beating. You might go out on the road this afternoon after church this morning and get in a head-on collision. You have no idea. Nobody plans those things. It's appointed unto a man who wants to die. And after that, the judgment. But praise God, my judgment took place at Calvary. Amen. I'm going to live forever. I was going to turn to Matthew 7. We'll not do that this morning. You can put it up on the monitor if you want. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 33. Know this, not everybody that thinks they're going to heaven is going to go there. There are a lot of good people going to go to hell. I read this a week and a half ago. I shared it in prayer meeting. I thought, man, that's powerful. Judas kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. He was that close. So what do you mean? Jesus said, I'm the door. Judas, think about this. Kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. You might be so close to salvation, but if you don't surrender, you're not born again. Think on that. If you're here and you're hoping you're saved, you might not be saved. So you're just trying to scare. No, I don't want you to go to hell. It's real simple. It's a heart cry to God. You've got to make sure you've done that. There must be a time and a place where you are born again, where you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So if you're here and you're not sure, or you're listening or watching by way of live stream, listening to a radio broadcast, and you're not sure, you need to bow your head right now. So let's pray one more time. And this is an appeal. This is for anyone who does not know they're saved. Dear God, just pray like this in your heart. I need salvation. I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me. Come into my life and come into my heart and save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, I prayed today. I received Christ today. If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You've got to tell somebody about it. You call us, we'll help you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbcmichigan.org. fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.